welcome to all our two and four-legged friends to What the Bark, the Rightful Podcast. We're back again, and I'm here again with everyone's favorite partner in crime, Genetic George. How are you doing, George?
Good, Nathan. Very well, thank you. It's sort of again raining down here in Victoria / Melbourne, and still in COVID lockdown, but I'm coping. I'm fine, but I'm excited today. You know why?
Why is that?
We've got a celebrity that's had more TV fame than Genetic George.
I know. And
younger.
And a detective nonetheless.
Yes. So we've got to keep it all very quiet here.
No, we're really excited because from a podcast perspective, we always love to bring in different guests from breeders to vets. And now we've got someone who's been incredibly, into the dog world over the last 18 months and beyond. And I'd like to welcome Sandy from Puppy Scam Awareness Australia. She's joining us on the podcast today. Sandy, welcome.
Hi, how are you guys? Thanks for having me on the show.
Hi, Sandy.
No, I feel like I'm talking to a celebrity.
Yeah, well, Nathan, Sandy is. I can't count on one hand how many times she's appeared on TV in the last 18 months. I think she's got a PR manager.
No, we're making her blush.
Well, I should.
Well, thanks, you know, George. Let me tell you, it all goes downhill from here, Sandy. Mm-hmm. No, it's lovely to have you on Puppy Scam Awareness Australia. You know, there must be an abbreviation. What is it?
PSAA.
Yeah, and it's amazing. You know, we'll let Sandy talk a little bit about how it all started. But I mean, this group, which started during COVID, and I guess in the height of all of the puppy scams, it's just snowballed and grown into this incredible community of over 13,000 people. It's really amazing. And Sandy, I mean, take us through, like, how did that start? How did your first sort of, I guess, you know, magnifying glass first come out into the world of puppy scams?
Yeah, so, it's during COVID when it first started. My mother wanted a dog. She's got lung problems, so she hadn't been able to leave the house in months and months. So I went to look for a rescue dog because I'm an ex-vet nurse. Mm. I've worked with wildlife. I worked for Sydney Wildlife for over 12 years as well, rescuing wildlife, and just always been in the animal industry for as long as I can remember. And anyway, I couldn't find a rescue animal. So for the first time ever, I thought, okay, I'll just contact a normal breeder and buy a dog through the classifieds. So found who I thought was a breeder from Armidale and, you know, asked all the questions, send me the pictures. We talked about, you know, worming, the vaccines and what have not. And then I asked them for identification because during the conversation, I thought, this sounds too good to be true. And I should have listened to my gut instinct, but, you know, I was getting all overwhelmed with it all and I fell in love with the dog. And so anyway, I asked for ID. So,
Sandy, can I just ask you, what sort of dog was I trying to scam you here? What was the breed? Was it a particular breed?
It was a toy poodle.
Oh, perfect. If I was going to scam anyone, it would be two dogs, a toy poodle or a French bulldog.
That's
Nathan.
Right. Yeah.
That's where the money is.
Or a cavoodle. Yeah. So I thought, toy poodle, mum will be able to handle that, little lap dog. They're great little animals. So, it was $1,600. So, and at the time, I didn't it's think cheap, that was though. Such a bad price. At the start of COVID, they weren't in the six-figure.
So, Sandy, if I'm going to scam you, I've got to get you enticed. I can't have it too expensive. I'm looking for that vulnerable person who can just afford it around that price, Nathan. Now, nothing that we see. We wouldn't see a toy poodle sort of advertised on Rightpaw for $1,600.
No. And that's the thing. I think having transparency around price, I mean, average person on the street doesn't know how much a dog costs. It's not a common thing that you would know. So unless you had the ability to compare and which you know we now have on Rightpaw, $1,600. How would you know what to compare it to?
So continue the story. $1,600.
Well, that's what happened. So the last dog I had ever bought was $700, and that was 9 years ago. So, and I thought that was expensive back then. So I thought $1,600. That sounds about right for a poodle. And I didn't even do it because of the cheap price. I didn't. I thought it was just reasonable. Yeah. So long story short, she sent me ID, and also sent me pictures of her subscription with Dogs New South Wales, which, as you know, is a reputable dog association. Mm-hmm. So I thought that I was buying off a reputable breeder. Mm. So went ahead and transferred the money because it was lockdown.
So can I ask you just quick, because I'm going to sort of get in. So Dogs in New South Wales, when you say a membership, was the membership valid? Was it something you could check? Did it have a name and a membership number that is current?
That's where I fell. I should have rung the association and checked. But I took their word for it. And this is what I've discovered. Aussies in general are really trusting and give people the benefit of the doubt because we don't really do that sort of stuff here. It's not common. I mean, you hear of scams, but you hear of like telephone scams and things like that. I had no idea it was going on with the animal industry. And so,
you know, straight away I would have gone Dogs New South Wales member, super cheap poodle. You know, again, who knows? You know,
but that's the thing. But it's easy for us. You know, we are in the dog world day to day. I mean, for the average person, you know, you're looking for a dog maybe once every 10 years. And, you know, as Sandy said, you know, 9 years since you looked at your last one.
And you're dealing on that real emotional level. Everyone wants a puppy. So you're not really questioning. You're not really thinking this is going to be a scam. I'm literally just getting myself a dog. Yep.
And they're so good. The photos they sent, they were all, you know, in sequential and videos of the puppy, and they knew all the right things to say.
I was going to ask if they sent, they sent videos.
Yes, yeah. I later found out that those videos and pictures had been stolen from another breeder.
Off their website.
Yeah, but it turns out that these scammers had stolen a real breeder. So there is a real breeder called Donna Dixon, actually. I can say that now because she was a victim of a scam herself. So she's a real breeder in Armidale, and somebody scammed her and was trying to buy a puppy and asked her for ID. So she sent across her dog's New South Wales registration and her driver's license. These scammers then use that to open up bank accounts in her name, websites in her name, and basically pretend to be her.
And it's a whole operation.
Huge. And I was one of the victims. But this Donna Dixon scam caught, well in excess of 30 people. And they were all rocking up at Donna's house asking for their dogs. So they called police as well. Police went to her house ready to arrest her, thinking she was a criminal. And it just snowballed from there. But as soon as I realised, you know what made me realise was when I got an email from the couriers basically saying, we've got your dog, because it was supposed to be delivered the next day and, you know, it was all inclusive. And we've got your dog, but you need to pay a refundable insurance of $2,000 because the crate that it was in is not approved, you know, by transport and it needs to be COVID safe. And then they told me that they needed a pressure vaccine for the dog. And me being a vet nurse, I'm like, pressure vaccine, like cabin pressure vaccine. I'm like, that there's no such thing. So that's when I went, oh no, I think I've been scammed. I didn't pay the $2,000, but anybody else might have, and there have been people that have paid that extra money.
It's a very common thing I've heard is, it's those, they try to get you with all of the extra points at a time when, you know, the pup's just about to arrive and you're potentially very vulnerable as well.
Okay. Yeah. So the 1600 is just the initial sort of dangling part, and then they go, well, you want more.
Exactly. I've heard of even other people being told that the dog got parvo, and that it's at the vets and they can't, make it, well, they can't put it on transport until it's been checked by the vet, and these are your vet bills and you have to pay this plus the crate plus this plus that, and it just keeps going up and up and up and up. There are people that have lost up to $18,000, if you can believe that.
And you know what, Sandy, it's we're reading more and more about it, especially in this sort of companion animal puppy area, because as I sort of initially said, the demand is quite high now and the supply is low. So there's that area of, you know, where you can work on. It's interesting because I'll admit it, I've been scammed, and it wasn't for anything at $1,600. I thought I was buying something legitimate off a Facebook marketplace and it was only a $120 item. And every time I sort of asked the question about, can I see it? It seemed to be in an area that was too far for me to drive, but it was still in my state. So being just a set of pods, I thought there's no harm. And then everything seemed, they sent me photos and every time I seemed to ask the question to confirm, it was a delay or it took a day to get back to me, and then the answer came. And then, of course, I paid the amount of $120 and these pods never came.
Yeah.
So they work on areas where you're trying to get information, they provide it sort of in dribs and drabs, and who would have thought in puppies?
And in this instance, yeah, I mean, I really feel for the breeder who's, you know, just trying to, you know, thought she was probably doing the right thing by trying to give confidence to a buyer by sharing her ID and doing the right thing. And gosh, yeah, and you know, breeders need to be really careful at the moment as well.
A lot of breeders were doing that, sending their ID across. That's something that I've been teaching people. Do not do that. Do the FaceTime. Do not send people your ID. Doesn't matter who it is. I'm really skeptical now. I think everyone's a scammer who rings me.
So one of the things that we've done, Sandy, and I'm sort of referring back to Orivet here, is that over the last sort of 6 months we've had people wanting to know why their addresses are on reports. So as of 2 weeks ago, we've removed addresses. So all it is is your name and your membership number, no addresses, because we're getting a lot of people that were, people's addresses were becoming public. All of a sudden, if someone knows you've got, you know, 8 puppies for sale and they've got your addresses, and there's a possibility there that someone might actually come
and steal your animals. Yes. Mm. Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's smart.
People that ring our, ring our customer service. And if I know that Sandy's got a puppy, then they ring us, Sandy, and say, "I'm inquiring about this puppy. Can you just confirm my address?" And customer services. So we've introduced now things in place where we ask for a postcode confirmation and your membership number confirmation, just to take us through. It's interesting. It's just people are looking for any opportunities, because you know what, the dating and romance scams are finished. You know, the investment scams are sort of being done. The false billing scams have all been done. There's a great little opportunity now for puppies, and some of these puppies can sell for anything up to $10,000.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It's big money. It's big money. And so I was on Sunrise this morning. And
she's plugging. There you go. You see, Nathan, once again, plugging Sunrise. It'll be, you know.
That's all right. She'll be on the morning show tomorrow, and then she'll be saying she was on What the Bark yesterday. So don't worry, it all comes around.
But yeah, they were saying, they made a report there about ACCC saying that puppy scams this year have cost Aussies $2.6 million.
Well, let me tell you, I've got some data here for you, Sandy. In 2020, $850 million was lost in scams, and that's an increase of 23% since 2019.
People in the last year just praying at such a vulnerable time.
And, you know, this is my area, 38.9 million in dating and romance scans.
Yes, they're huge at the moment too. I thought people knew about those, but there's still a lot of people getting caught out. But, yeah, this puppy stuff, even cat scams, bird scams, fish scams, they're all there. I've even seen ferret scams recently. It's ridiculous. And the car buy and sell are also a really big scam that's going on at the moment.
So in the end, let me tell you, did you get the poodle at the end?
I had to go and buy another dog. So it cost me a further $2,500. So I found a real breeder at $2,500. And that was on the Dogs New South Wales website. So this time I went straight to the actual website and picked a dog. And then it took me 6 months to fight the banks to get my money back. And, you know, people say, oh, you shouldn't fight the banks. Well, I disagree with that, because at the end of the day, they're the ones that are supposed to check security. They have a duty of care. And in my situation and in most situations, banks just turn around and say, oh, we'll just do a recall. And I'm like, well, it's not good enough, because we've not just entered, I've not entered the wrong account number. That's when you would do a recall, if you've put accidentally money into someone else's account. A recall is essentially asking a criminal in a very nice way, would you be so nice enough to return that money? Of course, a criminal isn't going to do that. So a recall is just not,
not on the cards. You know?
Look, I went without naming the bank. Mine was $120. I EFT'd it into the actual bank that I bank with and couldn't get it back after I explained what it was. And I couldn't get my head around it, but it's going into the same bank. I've let you know the day next. No, yeah. You had to fill in this paperwork. You had to do in all, and it was just too much, yeah. Especially for $120. I couldn't get my head around.
Yeah.
I'm banking with you. I'm EFTing into an account that has your bank involved. Mm-hmm. I couldn't get that back. Ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, same with PayPal. People think that PayPal is a safe way to transfer money as well because, you know, they return things. If you don't get something, generally you'll get your money back. But what people don't know is that PayPal have a friends and family section, and the friends and family section doesn't cover you for things like that. So, again, there's a bit of confusion where people think it's safe to send through PayPal. But these scammers know that doing it through friends and family doesn't cover the insurance part. So,
I mean, I was just saying to Sandy earlier, that's something that we've just launched on Rightpaw as well, the ability to securely pay for your puppy as well. And, you know, you can have the confidence, you know, we've vetted all of the breeders, you can pay securely with card. We hold that money, you know, until the puppy actually leaves or until there's a date that's agreed by both parties. So you can have the confidence that all of the funds are going through securely. And at the end of the day, you have someone, you know, traceable who's there to help you if anything were to go wrong. So, I mean, but, you know, things like this didn't exist at the beginning of COVID. We didn't exist at that time. So talk us through. So you've been scammed. Donna's obviously been compromised. This is horrible. You decided to do something about it.
Yeah, so I basically started just going to all the dog groups on social media, on Facebook, you know, the Dash Hound group, the Poodle group, asking people, has anyone else been scammed, or have people noticed that there's all these puppy scams? And straight away I had half a dozen people contact me going, I'm a victim too. I don't know where to report it. There's no support. There's no information. And I thought, hang on a minute, like, this is a topic that needs to be discussed. No one's talking about it. Yep. Everybody's left to their own devices. And I thought,
and you know what, you know, Sandy, sometimes people don't like to be told they've been scammed.
Well, that's the other thing. I was shamed on social media. Yes. There are trolls out there. And one woman I remember saying, well, serves you right for being so dumb and going to see the puppy.
I knew that would be,
And like people... there are some really nasty people out there, but I also had some very good people, you know, who were supportive and said, oh dear, that's a lot of money to lose. So it was embarrassing. So the first, and this is the thing, when you get scammed, you go through a whole bunch of emotions. Mm. There's the horrified emotion where you realize you've lost all this money. Secondly, you start blaming yourself. How could I be so stupid? How could I have done this? How could I not have checked? Then there's the embarrassment.
My son kept on going on about $120. Your dad, you idiot, why didn't you check this? Why? I mean, when you, you know, $120, you should.
I mean, for me, people were saying, Sandra, you've worked in the animal industry. How could this have happened to you of all people? And you just feel so helpless. And then there's the depression because
And you let me say something, Sandy. I have a famous quote. Everyone has a PhD in hindsight.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I should have done. Oh, yeah. You know,
it's easy.
Yeah. Sorry. That's my bird in the background, if you can hear her.
What sort of bird?
She's a Corella, a rescue from many, many. She's actually 26 years old and loves to have a chat.
It's all right. I was saying we often have George's dogs in the background as well. So it's
the door. Because so, I had enough of them, Nathan. No, I'm going to nag me. They wouldn't give me I need a break. Don't tell them. Anyway, sorry, Sam.
So that's how Puppy Scam Awareness Australia was born on Facebook. And within a year, I already had close to 5,000 members, and you know, I've never been so popular on Facebook in my life, and it just sort of started from there.
Do you have the scammer of the month?
Oh no, I should do that, although it'd be pretty hard because a lot of them are just unbelievable.
And I've had a look, and there's a whole lot of websites you list. So some of the, you know, they go and build, you know, to build a website and to put up a Shopify account doesn't cost you much.
Yeah.
Up a scam website is what, $200, and you can make yourself look really legit.
The thing is, these guys are all paying for those AdSense ads on Google. So they're those, what do they call them? Those
like Google display ads, the ones that sort of, yeah, just sit on different websites, just follow you around.
Damn. Yeah.
Okay.
They pay for those. So they target people. And it's like, you know, the algorithms on Google, if you're looking for puppies, that'll just keep
get you good returns. When you think about it, if you want to invest on a Google ad and what it might get you, any opportunity. Yeah. So that's a question I was going to ask you, because my son Dan likes to ask some questions. You know, when they communicate, what is it, an email more, or is it text more? Is it through social media more? Where do you find most of your people are getting? Is it phone?
It's a mixture. So there's a lot of fake Facebook groups, and pages, and just fake anything that's got puppy for sale near me or puppy for adoption is very
It's a red flag straight away.
And under that, they always have, they put sort of like hashtags. So puppy near me, Sydney, puppy near me, Newcastle, and they'll have all the listed. A normal breeder wouldn't put up an ad like that.
Yeah.
And we need to reach out to Mr. Zuckerberger. If it's happening on Facebook, he needs to somehow police. So you're saying Facebook was probably the main.
Yeah. Facebook and websites.
Websites.
So actual websites that are appearing in the Google ads. So, you know, you've got happycaboodle.com.
Oh,
or
Sandy, I saw some of the ones listed on your website. Yeah. It goes from A to Z.
Yeah. It's hundreds.
Some of the URLs taken, I'd pay $1,000 for.
Yeah. Mind you, I've shut down close to half of those, I think, now.
Yeah, I clicked on a few and couldn't be found. So.
Yeah.
And that's what I was going to say, you know, that's one of the great things that happens on the group is that, you know, people share scams and then you investigate them. And then not only, obviously shutting down sites, but also phone numbers as well. You've gotten numbers disconnected. It's been a whole operation.
It's funny. I sort of just fell into it. So basically when we started investigating all these websites, we started finding patterns, specific patterns, prefixes to phone numbers that were always being used. And then just things started falling into place, and now I have approached all those businesses, for example, the phone companies, the banks, the website hosts that, you know, put up these websites, and I have created, I guess, a relationship with all these businesses. And so now I've got like a scam report form on my website where people can fill it out and you can put down the scammer's names, bank details, website, email, all of that stuff. And from that information, it's collated into like a spreadsheet, if you like, and it's shared with those entities. So recently the Australian Financial Crime Exchange, which is a organisation that basically report to all the banks, the fraudulent accounts that are currently out there, these people have approached us now and are working with us. So I'm sending them all the bank details immediately so that they are able to at least put a stop on the account and investigate it for fraud and hopefully stop those funds from leaving into an offshore account. And
the scammers are going to hate you.
Oh, I'm waiting for the death threats.
Yeah,
look. But it doesn't scare me. And, you know, the good thing is that people are starting now to get some of their money back from banks, whereas when I started this, it was very, very few.
You know, look at it. You're creating, there's an important word in your whole business, awareness. That's what it's about. That's the only way to stop it, awareness by people
and
now. And so it's one of the, if there were only two things that you would recommend you do as something to make sure you don't get scammed, what would the two be? Only pick me two. What are the two key
FaceTime for starters.
Okay.
Most scammers will not engage in FaceTime.
Look, I've got no internet. Mm. Sorry. What else can I do? Sorry. I'm just going to give you. So FaceTime. I always ask them to do a real time video.
You have to, because then you can see the person's face. You can at least know that something's happening in real time. You can see the dogs. It can't be faked. You know, all of those. Yeah. It has to be video at the end of the day.
And not a video attached to an email. You're saying a live video.
A live FaceTime, where you can actually speak to them and maybe even view their ID if you want on FaceTime, but you're not actually giving it to them. Okay. Although I should say that FaceTime can be recorded, so you still need to be careful.
They might have something pre-recorded and you think it's...
So you still need to be careful. All right, so and then apart from that, the thing is, it's not just one or two things to check. Every scam that you have to go through an actual checklist of things. There's at least five things that you need to check. Yeah.
Well, can I maybe add one as well? I mean, also going to a reputable website, I think, as well, like going to a website where they check the breeders and you know, obviously a bit of a plug for Ripel here, but, you know, if you can go to a website where, you know, all of the breeders have been verified, you know, have been checked and had a personal verification call, and, you know, and you can pay securely through that site, then that's another way that you can have confidence as well that you're not going to get scammed at the end of it.
Well, that's exactly why Puppy Scam Awareness Australia support the right paw. And we've told people about you guys because I think what you created
you too,
is...
You?
Well, this it's
is
true. It's a great incentive. Okay. It makes my job a hell of a lot easier, let me tell you. I just feel sorry for so many people coming to me and say, oh, I've gone to the classifieds and I got scammed. It's most...
Gumtree.
90% of classifieds do not vet their customers. Do not check whether their details are correct or false. And now there's all these websites that end with .com.au that are fake. And there's a general consensus that, you know, oh, if it ends in .com.au, then it's safe because it's Australian. No, these scammers, what they're doing now is they're stealing ABN numbers because you can't get a domain with .com.au unless you have an ABN number. Mm-hmm. And we found a scam the other day that used the ATO's ABN number. How blatant.
Love it.
Look, so you need to check people's ABNs as well.
And I'll let you know about something at Orivet again, is that we actually see reports where barcodes are changed, the results are forged, all changed. So we have something on our website where you are able to verify a report by just simply putting in the barcode.
Oh, so good.
You put it in, it doesn't give away any of the details on the disease, but it gives you the basic details of the owner. We've seen it. People send me documents and I look at it and the barcode's been changed to the result. So we always have this ability where we ask you to share a result. So rather than receive it something via text and cropped, share it. It happens everywhere. It's interesting what they will do and what they can. And people go to me, how do they do that? I go, you can counterfeit a $100 note. It's easy to change a report. You buy Photoshop and you can edit and change your barcode.
Well, I've seen some of those Orivet fake certificates. Yeah. A while ago I saw one. Yeah. It had been Photoshopped. Photoshopped.
Nathan, I know.
But
look,
it was
in my
obvious.
Time, Sandy, we had liquid paper. Yeah. That's about as sophisticated we could get. Was just a bit of liquid paper, Nathan. I don't know if you ever used that.
I've many times.
Yeah.
And carbon paper. Yeah. Look at it's got to now. Now, these days, we've tried to introduce watermarks and everything. And
it's very difficult.
And I guess that's a good question to ask, Sandy. You know, what for the average person that's going out and looking for a dog, what are some of those red flags that they should be aware of? You know, that they're researching, they find a site, they find a breeder. What are some of those red flags where they should be thinking, oh, actually, I really need to think twice about this?
Yeah. Well, definitely there's a lot of things I go through. So when I open a website, the first thing I look at is the language and the grammar, spelling. Yeah, often these sites will be copied and pasted from another website. And you'll see that the full stops or the spaces aren't quite in the right place.
The attention to detail really isn't there.
You've got to actually read it. And they forget to remove things like references to transport, like American Airlines, for example. Yeah. The website's catered to Australia, but you go to the shipping info, American Airline flights are just 5 hours and they've forgotten to change it to whatever the Australian equivalent is. And there's always a mistake. So you really need to check everything quite thoroughly. Testimonials is another good one. Mm-hmm. If you copy a testimonial, just copy the wording, whack it into Google. And it will come up on five other websites where the exact same testimonial is being copied.
I'm pretty sure
from.
You can do that with images as well.
Yeah, reverse image search.
You just right-click on an image and you'll see in the menu Google search media and you just click on that and it'll show you where it's also come up. Although the scammers are getting much better at it these days and the terminology's changed a lot. Previously they would use words like they're potty trained or they've had their shots.
Yeah, which you just wouldn't wouldn't see that in Australia at all.
And we don't say shots, we say vaccinations.
If you're selling a German shepherd pup and you can't spell shepherd right, there's something wrong there.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I think the other thing, which I guess is sort of a probably an overarching point, is that if you go to a website and you see there's a pup for sale or they have pups available immediately, I mean, that for me is already a bit of a red flag. Like, we know at the moment just how difficult it is to find a puppy and how, you know, a good puppy takes time. So for me, if I'm going to a site and I see pups available now, it's potentially because, you know, that's immediately me thinking, well, hang on, how can they have one available? And even so, you know, if they've got pups straight away, you know, it's maybe, you know, maybe they're breeding too much. I don't know. Not, you know, that's a generalization. And obviously there are pups available always with good breeders, but it's something means you need to look a little bit closer.
Yeah, exactly. And the other one that they put up is a 50% discount. Pups available, 50% discount. There are quite a few websites that offer you a 20% or 50% discount. Like you said, there's so much demand, there wouldn't be a discount like that anywhere. And you wouldn't have a website too with 6 or 7 different breeds as well, unless it's a legit puppy farm or, you know, but.
And you can ask them curveball questions. I do this sometimes when they used to ring me on the old landline, like, what's the weather like? And they can't, sort of don't give you the right weather because they're somewhere else. Or you can say, just wait a minute, and you leave the landline on hold, Nathan, and you just you leave it for half an hour. You don't come back to it.
Actually, one of my admin girls was chatting with a scammer recently and just asked them, do you have any Yowies available?
Yeah, see?
the answer was yes.
So what you do, you ask them, you try and throw some curveball questions to them.
Yeah, and that's interesting, actually. So I guess when you're talking to a scammer, I mean, this might seem like an ignorant question. Like, are these scammers in Australia? Are they overseas? Like, can you tell based on an accent, or how can you tell a scam? Can you tell a scammer from a phone call?
Yeah, you can most of the time because I mean, the ones that are overseas, they'll usually call you ma'am, and then they'll talk about how religious and how they're full Christians, and they always bring out the religious side of things, you know, where we're full Christians and
they're always honest. That's the whole thing.
So they do that a lot. So or they'll tell you that they can't come to the phone, and they'll message you via WhatsApp as well. That's the other one. They always use WhatsApp for some reason. It's just a matter of calling their bluff at the end of the day. That you really need to check a whole bunch of things. And that's something that I've got on my website, is a checklist of what you can actually check and go through to make sure that a website is legit. We've also got a list of things to look out for to see, you know, how to figure out if it is legit or it's not. But a lot of things Australians don't know is that when you sell or buy a puppy in Australia, you need to be registered, like with a bin number or a source number. People don't know that. It is the law. And I think that's something that people need to be aware of, that if you buy or sell an animal in Australia, you do need to have what's called a bin number or a source number or a DACO number, depending on what state you live in.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you need to check that. So you need to check that. You need to check microchip details. You need to check with the associations.
Yep.
And it's great because a lot of those states, you know, will have that part, you know, that those databases available. So, you know, if you're asking that from a breeder, you know, that's not unreasonable. You have every right as a puppy buyer to ask that. You can then go to, you know, New South Wales, it's the pet registry, in Queensland, it's the dog breeder register. They have bin numbers, source numbers, Victoria, DACO in South Australia. Go to the websites, put those in, and they'll often come back with even, you know, email addresses that you can then corroborate. Is it the same email address that I'm speaking with that person on?
That's right. So that's what you need to do, is exactly corroborate the correct email address is there, the name, go to the association, corroborate with them to see if the address and name and everything matches up. Go to the microchip register, check that out as well. There's several ways. I even go as far as maybe asking if their vet can verify that they are a client. The vet won't be able to give them much information about, you know, their customer, but they can certainly verify that it is a client that goes there, without giving them information.
Can I ask a question? Is that something I can ring Dogs New South Wales and verify? Can I ring and say I'm ringing about a member called Nathan, who I want to clarify his number? I mean, that is, isn't that confidential information?
Well, it's on their list. They do have, like, if you've got a registration number, say Nathan's got number 222 or whatever, you can go to them and say, I've got a guy that I'm buying a dog off. His name's okay. Nathan. This is his thing. And can I just verify that this is his email address? You'll probably have to give it to them first. They can say yes or no.
Yeah. And that's, I think that's a really good point. And that's something that we do at Rightpaw as well, is whenever someone says that they're a member with an association, you know, we email the association to check that. And that's probably an important thing that maybe some listeners might not know, is that there are those two levels. There's the state level, which everyone has to be registered with. That's sort of the basic law. And then on top of that, there are the associations like your ANKC, Dogs New South Wales, Dogs Queensland, you know, your AAPDBs and the likes. And those are on top of the basic state registration as well. And you can definitely email them.
This is another thing people don't know. In the breeders' world, you've got your ANKC and MBDA, which is the Master Breeders.
RPBA, you've got everything.
What I'm trying to say is that pure breeds, you go to ANKC or Master Breeders Association, only for pure breeds.
I'm going to correct you on that.
Is it?
It's pedigree.
Or pedigree
pure grids ANKC, and then it's the rest.
Yep.
So the thing with the ANKC, it's all about heritage, and it's a database of heritage. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying this because I know there'll be plenty of ANKC people listening.
Oh, right, I know.
And we don't want to.
We get into these debates.
They have a different value, and the difference between all these other groups is that the ANKC has a registry of pedigree, which is what separates them. So the parents, grandparents and great-grandparents over hundreds of years are on a database. That's the difference.
That's right,
piece of paper that's what separates them, DBA. You can have a pure dog on any of these, but they don't have what is called a pedigree.
But I guess in terms of the consumer, now the consumer doesn't know all this terminology, and quite frankly, most of them probably don't care unless you're an enthusiast that's going to go show a dog or something like that. But, you know, most of them go, where do I go to an association? I want a Cavoodle. Is there an association for that? They wouldn't know where to go and look. And this is part of the problem too, that people just don't know where to go and look for this information. And I say to people, you know, if you're after a pedigree dog, a purebred, these are the associations that you should go to. If you're after a crossbreed dog or designer breed, whatever you want to call them, these are other associations that also deal with them. At the end of the
day, that's exactly what Rightpaw is trying to do. So what the model is here is that in 2 years' time, it will be the place to go to, Nathan. At the moment, it's still in a building. And it asks you that same question as soon as you're longing. Are you looking for a crossbreed or a purebred?
And this is what the problem is with consumers. There's not enough information out there to teach them these things. The average consumer doesn't know about the state laws, how you have to register. They don't know about the different types of dog associations there are. You know, they don't know about this sort of stuff.
Yeah, it's a lot of education, and that's, you know, that's what we're on the journey to do, and, you know, help people understand, you know, what are the associations? What should I be looking for? And those are the checks that we're doing as part of the platform on Rightpaw as well.
This is where it gets tricky on my website too, because I do get a lot of angry breeders as well saying, oh, you know, you're endorsing crossbreds and this and that. It's not about that. It's not. I don't endorse any particular breed. I'm not. I'm objective to all of that. My thing is to just make people aware that, yes, there are different associations for different breeds. It really all depends what you want. If there is some dodgy breeders out there and you know about it, please, by all means, go and report that to the RSPCA or whoever the, you know, authority is. But to be able to...
And people don't understand, you just wouldn't... The population wouldn't be able to cope if we just had ANKC. It just based on how many you can breed and what litters you can have and how members you've got, there are just not enough dogs to fulfill.
That's right. It's true. You know, like there's so many different breeds out there. I personally, like I said, have always rescued dogs. And for me personally, all the crossbreds that you could think of, I've come across. And they're all beautiful animals in my eyes. As long as people are doing the right thing and abiding by the rules and not, you know, obviously exploiting these animals.
I think at the end of the day, you know, as you said, Sandy, like you're trying to just make sure people get a dog at the end of the day. You know, it's a, you know, whether it's a purebred or a crossbreed, You know, it needs to be a real happy, healthy dog, not smoke and mirrors. And that's what it's about.
And that's why I say to people, due diligence. You really need to do your homework. There's no point asking one or two questions. You really need to go through a checklist of things if you want to get yourself the right animal that's good for you and your family. Yeah.
You know, we're not dog snobs, although I've got two pedigree dogs, you know. We're not snobs. I've had a rescue. I've been fortunate enough to have pedigree. In the end, they're someone's pet. You know, that's
exactly.
What they are.
It's a companion. It's part of the family.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I love that as well. So you've got that checklist, and what I'll do is I'll put a link to that for everyone listening. I'll put a link to that in the show notes. I'll put a link to the group and as well as the checklist. And I think that's great, you know, so if you're not looking on Rightpaw and you know you are looking somewhere else, then go through the checklist as well and go through everything. Make sure you know you've gone through those points. FaceTime, as Sandy said, so important. You know, that's incredibly
useful. Careful with transport companies. There's a lot of scam transport companies now popping up. So I've actually got a list that the ANKC group themselves recommend in terms of transport. So that's also listed there in my puppy buying guide. So I've got a puppy buying guide, and I've also got a guide that helps you look out what, you know, things to look out for in terms of scams. Apart from the Facebook group, I've got the website because I realize not everyone's on social media. And I'm trying to also endorse, you know, people like the Rightpaw. There's all these really good businesses that have come up so far.
Have you two had a meeting before this? I've never seen many plugs for the Rightpaw. This is
the
Rightpaw.
There are others, you know, as well.
No, of course. I mean, look, we're all on the journey to improve this. Yeah, it's not just about us, but obviously, yeah, Sandy's a big advocate, which is lovely.
I think the work that you're doing is fantastic, and it's something that really needed to close this gap. And Orivet too. You guys are awesome.
Oh, hello. Yes, I am here. Anyone? Hello. Everybody. I think it's a perfect time, Nathan, for my little shout out, my little competition here.
Yes.
I'm going to do. So, sorry, Sandy, right. I've introduced a little competition to make sure people that are listening. It's called a little curveball. It's a free full breed profile with the answer to this question on the 1st of November between 11 a.m. and 11:05 a.m. So the first person to email me with the answer to this question on the 1st of November wins a voucher for a full breed profile to the value of $195.
Great deal.
It's a super deal. So my inbox will just come fluttering in. So I want you to email me with the 2021 NRL Premiers. Email me the answer to that. So adding a bit of sport to the theme. Make sure some of our listeners are, you know, a rugby league, or as we call it down south, thugby league followers.
Harsh. I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, you know, getting points or putting a ball over a line and just smashing through. It's just not a sport. Thugby league. Email me the answer to that question. The premiers of the 2021 NRL season on the 1st of November between 11:08. Anything that comes at 10:59 doesn't win. Anything that comes at 11:06 a.m. does not win. That's it.
Well, that's awesome.
There we go.
It's for those listeners. You know, they're probably
loyal listeners.
They're sort of half a minute, sort of dozing off, or maybe walked off to get, you know, a cup of coffee or wine to listen to the podcast. You know, those that think they can just listen to the first 10 minutes and the last 10 minutes. No, we stick this anywhere, don't we, Nathan? You know, and I can tell you for $195, they'll jump at it. We'll see, you know, they'll jump at the opportunity.
That's very good value. Yeah.
And Sandy, I was going to say, so for anyone who, you know, is a bit concerned about, you know, is this a scam? How can they come to you? How can they contact you? And you know, what can they do to make sure they're not getting scammed?
So basically, join our Facebook group because we educate a lot of people on there. We also provide support for victims as well, because that's another really big component of this. Let you know that you're not alone and we are there for you. So you can either message us privately or via the website as well. There's a scam report form where you can fill out all the bits and pieces and we'll get back to you. But, look, the generally the checklist is enough to try and help you find what you're looking for, and just the guides that we have on there, read through them carefully and follow them, because it is guaranteed to find you a legitimate breeder. There's a system that we follow, basically. And if you're still unsure, by all means, send us a message or an email. And we'll get back to you. Definitely.
So, Sandy, apart from all the money you make from appearing on TV, you're a non-profit organisation. I just want to get this all clear.
We're not even that at the moment. It's just an ordinary business that I've registered. I've got to look at trying to make us non-for-profit, because let's face it, we're all poor and no one's working, and we do this free of charge. And my admin girls too, they've just been amazing. I need to give them a huge shout out, because honestly, if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be able to do all the work.
Let's shout them out. Who are they? Come on, name them.
So Tracy, Sue and Sharon, they're Tracy, my main Sharon, ones. I've got Joe as well.
Thank God you got a male. All I could hear was...
Oh, it's a female as well.
And Joe's particularly special. She's just donated a puppy to one of the victims that lost money for her autistic daughter.
Oh, amazing.
So, we gifted a dog. So we've done that for a couple of people now as well. This is what I mean about supporting them. Mm. There are some special circumstances as well, and we've been lucky enough to get three dogs that have been donated so far to certain victims. Mm. These ladies are... We all start at 7 in the morning, finish at midnight, and, sometimes we just keep going 24/7 and it's just nonstop. And as you saw, my list of websites is huge. This month we've shut down 118 websites just this month alone.
Amazing.
Yeah. And that's the kind of work that we're doing. So we're shutting down the websites. We're reporting all the bank details.
You're spending a lot of time in the makeup room at the TV station.
What's funny? I had to run to get myself sorted just before that interview. My hair hadn't been dyed for months.
These are problems. Nathan, we're talking about dyeing hair.
Terrible.
I've got a lot of salt and pepper coming through after the last 18 months, I can tell you that.
I was Mrs. Doubtfire up until Monday. It was terrible. My hair was all white.
Well, if you ever got any room on any of those TV shows for someone who can, join you, Nathan and I are available. We're there. If you ever need us to a live cross to George or Nathan, we can help out.
That's awesome. Well, I did mention that Nathan and my little mate was the other one that I mentioned on Sunrise last time I was on there.
You did. It was great. And we had a lot of people notice that and come on board as a result.
Yeah.
Like that, Nathan. No, you can't. It's worth
it. No, we're very grateful. Station.
No, it's good. Yeah. You guys deserve it. I mean, it's something that needs to be done. And this is what I was saying to the other ladies as well. I wish more classifieds would do what you guys are doing and checking people properly. Mm. It would save so many people thousands. Yeah. And, my heart still breaks for the victims that I get. I get at least half a dozen victims nearly a day, every day. And
a question then I've got for victims, because it's something my son asked me again, is do you find what is the sort of average age? Do you find it's elderly that more of the victims or the younger? Is it a distribution of?
It's a distribution. Men, women, young people, older people. Okay. It doesn't discriminate.
Because I know with most of them, it's usually the elderly that have got the landlines where they're ringing. But now they're sort of even ringing you on mobiles and they've moved away from landlines.
No, and I think it's because of lockdown. People have been in their homes for such a long time. People just are yearning for their pet and having a pet. And it's a whole family decision. So, you've got mother, father, kids all vested in welcoming a little puppy into their home. Mm. And when it doesn't come, it's not just affecting one person, it's affecting the entire family. And it's just terrible. And this is the other point too, that animals shouldn't be sold as property. They should be sold as sentient beings because, and that's that's part and parcel of this too, is that it's just so easy to sell. It's like selling a car online.
Yeah, there's a whole legal minefield around property and ownership, and it makes it, yeah, it's very difficult to wrap your head around.
And then you've got these puppy flippers that, you know, it's not a scam and it's not illegal, but it should be. And and these are people that are, oh, look, I've seen scams. There was a person that was buying purebred poodles at, say, $3,000. This is going back 6 months ago, and then selling them as cavoodles for $6,000 and tampering with the paperwork, you know, the vet the vet certificates and everything just to make money. And that poor animal would be, you know, sent from place to place before it ended up with its new owners. And by the time it got there, it didn't get a chance to imprint with the original people that bought it, and it was completely traumatized and scared of everybody. And you know, that sort of stuff breaks my heart, but there's so many opportunists out there doing that sort of stuff. It's disgusting.
Yeah. And, you know, if I could say one thing as well, like, I think the thing that a lot of these scammers prey on is people's desire to get a dog now. You know, it's about, you know, and also people wanting to not miss out because they know how difficult it is to get a dog. So they make it urgent, they make it scary, they make it feel like you're going to miss out, and like you can't, you don't have the right to ask some of these basic questions about showing me your, you know, your numbers, showing me your health tests. And, you know, if I could say anything to the puppy buyers out there, it's, you know, a good puppy takes time to find, and it is a lifetime decision. It's something which you're going to be with for hopefully 10 to 15 years of your life. So take the time to invest learning about the dog, take the time to invest learning about your breeder, and it will pay off. And that's the biggest thing you can do to nip these scammers in the bud, is not give them, you know, that urgency to feed off.
Yeah, exactly. And that's half the problem. People, you know, buy with their emotions rather than logically or thinking about things. And, you know, it happens to the best of us.
Absolutely. It's easy to do. Easy to do when you've got family members that are wanting a dog, and you know your kids are there, and it is, and you know it's really, really tough. But you're right, you know, it's emotional times.
If someone had have said to me, you know, a year and a half ago, there's going to be a puppy scam awareness website, I would have laughed at them. You know, until me, we get ripped off. You got to, you know, but it's just how it's changed.
Yeah.
And you know, we have one of the largest pet populations per capita in the world, and we continue to. In fact, two dogs is the new one.
And well, I think the Australian dog community is lucky to have someone who's fighting on their behalf and, you know, working to shut the scammers down and giving us a great resource and someone to turn to. Because
imagine all the Christmas cards you're going to get, Sandy, from people.
I hope so. another thing we started doing as well is a breeders registry. A bit like, not like the Right Paw. Well, we don't do what you guys do, where you're actually, you know, advertising puppies or things like that for sale. On the flip side of this, we are also getting a lot of breeders that have been accused of being scammers, because people are so, I guess, paranoid now that the word's out and the awareness is out. People go to breeders, how do I know you're not a scammer? And so the real breeder now is also struggling to, I guess, show their credibility. And how do you prove to someone that they are real and without having to send your ID across to them? And so it's the other side of it. So what I've done now is it's just new, actually. We've just launched the breeders registry, where we give breeders the opportunity, I guess, to advertise with us. Not so much advertise their puppies, but more advertise who they are as breeders and their business. Sorry, that's my dog.
Is it the Corella?
That's my shoodle.
You know what? It's interesting, Sandy, because I had a look at your website, and a lot of those breeders there, a lot of them list DNA tested by Orivet.
Yes.
They give us a shout. I saw that on there and I thought, nice.
So, yes, that is something that we want to do, is also list breeders. We have all purebreds, crossbreds, whoever they are, but we do check them and make sure that they are legitimate and that they say who they are. We also get them to send us their ID, obviously in confidence, but we don't publish all of that stuff, obviously, to protect them. But, yeah, these are just other ways that, you know, the evolving world, we're going to have to start doing things this way, because, you know, there's just too many scammers out there, and it's too difficult for people to I guess, check how to do things as well without getting scammed. And, you know, we're kind of like a one-stop shop now as well, where we offer the information and offer the advice. And, yeah, so check it out as well.
Well done. Our website. Oh, I think
absolutely.
I think it's been good, and it's a good story. You know, you were scammed, and then thought enough's enough. And
that's it. You did something about it.
About it, yeah.
Yeah. Well,
I know. I wouldn't. Voluntary. I would have just taken it and thought, oh, bugger, and cursed. Yeah. And whatever.
Oh, look, I've had my moments too where I've wanted to just give up and say, why am I doing all of this? You know, I spent so much time.
I just hope when you're up there accepting your Logie Award.
I might be Australian of the Year. You never know.
You've got my vote.
You sort of give a little shout out to us two down there who have been in the industry for 30, 20 years, and here you get a little newcomer comes along, Nathan, you know, jumps on the scam bandwagon.
It's all for the betterment of the dogs, and that's the thing. That's what we're all working towards at the end of the day.
Well, I like to share it. You know, I like to share good businesses as well. Like I like to, you know, name them and let people know that there are very good businesses like Orivet and the Right Paw and, you know, whoever else.
Thank God I've got a plug then.
It's good. You know, and people need that.
Yeah, I know. Is that your goldfish I can hear in the background? You've got the noisiest animals I've ever seen.
It's a menagerie.
No, that's now my son, actually, my 5-year-old. He's just come back from the park.
So, Nathan, we come to that part of the show which people
wait. They wait the whole episode to listen to.
So it's probably the most educational part of the show. So, Sandy, this is where the guest becomes the star. Not that you haven't been. We've been sort of mixing with royalty here with Sandy. I've got a book here. It's the Genetic Disease book. It's a lovely little book, and it breaks down disease into very simple one-page summaries, although the diseases and can be a tongue twister. So it's you've got to pick a number from 1 to 100, and let's go to 180, and then that will be the disease that I talk about. So fire away.
Number 35.
So let's have a look. Nathan, I can't sort of keep up.
I don't think we've had that number before, so I'm curious.
We haven't.
Me too.
We haven't, because I can tell. We can tell by the so again, 35, yes. Mm-hmm. It's copper hepatopathy.
Oh,
yes,
it's very exotic.
Exotic, and trust Sandy to choose something.
Another tongue twister for you.
The good news is it's we can't test for it genetically. It's seen in, you know, a number of breeds, from the Beagle to the Labrador to the Skye Terrier to the Pekingese and Old English Sheepdog. And currently it's screened by visiting your veterinarian, like every good animal lover should, and doing a liver panel test. And you do that annually, and you look for, I'd say here, it's a disease that's associated with the liver that results in liver inflammation and damage. Which can lead to scarring and gradual loss of liver function. So I know when we talk about these, it seems like doom and gloom, but it's not. You know, Nathan, you know, these diseases are there. We're not saying that every dog will suffer from these. Mm. The condition has increased prevalence in several breeds and is most common in the Benlington Terrier. We test for copper toxicosis in the Benlington Terrier. Once copper levels accumulate in levels that damage enough liver cells to cause signs of liver disease, excessive drinking, mild weight loss, inappetence may be seen, and I think I'm starting to see that in me at the moment. So you can diagnose it by doing some blood tests, as I mentioned, ALT, AST, and AP. You can also do a liver biopsy and also look at liver copper levels. So, yes, another liver disease. It cannot be cured, but can be managed with dietary changes and medications. You know what? I should probably send one of these books out to Sandy.
That's very interesting.
There you go. Copper hepatopathy.
Yes. So we're slowly going through all the diseases. I think we've crunched through, you know, 10 diseases to date, Nathan.
Yeah. We've got another 130-odd to go.
Jeez. Well, good luck, guys. You guys are doing an awesome job.
Thanks, Sandy. Appreciate that. I've learned a lot. I think it's been some great information to get out to the public, and hopefully, you know, one person at a time, we can reduce the number of scams in Australia and the world.
Yeah.
And yeah, Sandy, love what you do. Well done.
Thanks,
enjoy,
guys.
And I've enjoyed listening. I really love how, you know, something that sort of you experienced, what was it, 12 months ago, you've sort of driven into something that's a real passion and continue to help others out.
No, I appreciate all your good wishes to us as well and support. So thank you for that. And thank you for having me on the show.
Yeah, it's been our pleasure. And thanks to all of our listeners. And we'll see you again next week.
Thank you.